Now, let's before we go there, let's go back and look at Isaiah 50 a minute.
50?
Isaiah 50. Verse 5, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Now, you got to see that this is obviously speaking of Christ and his when he was on earth as Son of Man and Son of God. But the scriptures are clear. It says, as he is in this world, so are we. And there is that same process that he did, which was never to lean, even though he had all power in heaven and earth. He never leaned on his own arm of understanding, nor did he ever retaliate. He walked in 100% dependence. That was the mind of Christ. Dependence on the Father, second by second. No trust, no nothing of his mind. And until you see that, you'll never understand the gospel. Verse 8, he is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? So, if you're still walking in darkness, if you're still leaning on your own arm of understanding, he's calling to you. Do you see that? Who is he that is still, that says he fears the Lord, that says he obeys the voice of the servant, but still is walking in darkness? Let him trust only in the name of the Lord and stay only upon his God. No more going to anywhere, to the world, to your mind, to anyone else. You stop and depend only on God. Never, never, never again going internally for an answer, going up to the mountains for your ideas. Wait on him. Now, you're shaking your head, yes, but you really understand. Huh?
Yeah. Why?
Well, because I know the conundrum you're in because of being here and hearing this and going into the world and making a living.
Well, I hear this and I think the difference between me and Christ is he has the ability to do something. I don't seem to have the ability to do anything. If I have something I want to do, I can't do anything.
But that's the blessed position. This has got to click. Weakness is the great position. Well, we'll see it more in a minute. Okay. So let me get again. Who is among you that says he fears the Lord, that says he obeys the voice of his servant, but is still walking in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust only in the name of the Lord. And stay only upon his God. The alternative. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that surround yourselves with the sparks, walk in the light of your own fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. And this shall you have of my hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. Haven't you lain down in sorrow enough? still think that there is some solution in going to a how-to or going and learning something from somebody? Do you still think there's a solution in your mind or a solution in depending on anything in the world? Aren't you tired of walking in the sparks that you have kindled and then lying down in sorrow? Let's go to Isaiah 57. Verse 10. You are wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. A million times in your life, you are wearied in the greatness of your way. But because of the issues, the way we are taught, the effect of the curse, you obstinately and determinedly forge on ahead, thinking that this next time it's going to work. And it never does. You continually lie down in sorrow because when you're in the position, when you're wearied in the greatness of your way, you don't stop and say, there is no hope. Remember, the only hope, the only time the word hope is used in the Scriptures is with regard to His resurrection. And it's His resurrection in you, and everything else is just pure rebellion. Now that's the predicate. The desirability from God's standpoint for His people to be in weakness, for His people to have failed. Christians are not champions. According to the world's definition, we are failures who are wearied in the lie, who are wearied in the continuum of trying to get it right. Now let's look and see what Paul says about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And you don't know, or maybe you do, you don't know how bad of a news this is. One of our people this morning came and asked me to pray for him early this morning because he had this terrible test that he was going through. And I said, he has no test, and he got mad at me. That's happened thousands and thousands of times since I began teaching this. Why? Why would anyone get mad for me saying they have no test?
Well,
yeah,
a little nip with you a couple times.
No.
Oh. About them not having no test. No, but at the time I was going through it, it was a test. It was a struggle. It was a test or struggle of me trying to,
trying to maintain your idea of control, being your own God, being what you believe was the definition of what you should be, instead of saying no. My life has nothing to do with me. It was bought by a price. Now my only work, if you could even call that work, is to recognize that every single issue that confronts me is to continue with Him in His test. And that's the only test there is in time and space, for you to know that.
That's similar.
Yeah. I am crucified with Christ. That means you're dead. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So then how can I have a test? How can anything be going on with me if I am dead? So therefore, the predicate for the reason that people get upset with that is the rationale internally is you're just a mean son of a bitch. You're not sympathizing with me in my place. No, I'm not sympathizing with you in your attempt to resurrect the Antichrist from his deadly head wound. If you are crucified, if the scriptures are right about that, and you are crucified, then you cannot have a test. Nothing can be going on with you. Now think for a minute of the millions of times since you became aware of yourself that you were convinced that something was going on with you. And how many times, even today or yesterday, have you been convinced something is happening with you? Can you see that is the basis of the deception by which the evil one has deceived the whole world, even today? Talk to me if you have any doubts about this.
Question, then, what was Jesus being tested by? Is he operating while he was on the earth before the resurrection or crucifixion? Was he operating by a somewhat different life?
No, exactly the same. He was tested whether or not to lean on his own arm of understanding about any situation. Even though he had all power in heaven and earth, he could have corrected every hunger, every illness, everything in the universe with a snap of his finger. But his business, his test, was to leave the will of God. And the will of God was not his will. The test of God is not about you.
Say when the devil leaves him for a quote more opportune time, which I assume is maybe the Garden of Gethsemane, he again confronts Christ with a choice, his will or the Father's will. But is that not still a test?
Of course.
Okay.
But it was always the test of Christ, not the test of man. Man died on the cross. He was the last Adam.
Right. Jesus had not yet died.
Okay. So he was in the way of perfecting the seed, a new creation, a new thing, a new race. And that perfection was the same as it was in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were to transform the innocence of the position without self-awareness, into holiness by antagonism. Christ came along, and he didn't fail. Now, he is the center of life. You aren't. The human race isn't. The human race is deceived because it believes it exists.
The crux here in this place is the same thing is going on, but it turns from seeing it as to this is about me as opposed to this is about Christ, who Christ is in you.
Well, Christ never even thought it was about him, never once. If he did, he said, Father, forgive me. It's no different. The difference is the way is perfected. The way is completed. He is the way. He's not going to show you the way. He is the life. He's not going to give you life. He is the truth. He's not going to show you truth. He is love. He's not going to give you love.
You know, I don't think I understand well the idea of us being crucified with Christ. I'm just sitting here thinking about this. Like, I've heard that often, but it's, you know, it's
like I have no understanding of exactly what that means. I know. That's why you keep getting
deceived. Thank you.
The, There's been somebody masquerading as Ronnie since the day you had conscious awareness of yourself. Ronnie has never existed. You've invented yourself, or the Antichrist has invented you. That's a hard thing to understand. And once you understand it, then you can... Man, okay. The cross becomes everything. There is nothing else but the cross. But when you understand that you're a fake, you're worse than a robot. You have no function, no purpose. All you're capable of doing is doing the will of your Father. You were a liar from the beginning, just as He is. That kind of angers a few people. You've invented yourself. You keep putting a little bit of clay on and a little more, and then you change and you see something else, and you add some of this and you add some of that. If you want to see what a golem looks like, look at Harry. I didn't say that. Did I say that? Harry's showing me the score.
So you're number one.
I mean, do you understand? Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Do you think that's a typo? If he's the chief of sinners, that means he thought of himself as a greater sinner than Satan himself. Do you see yourself as the chief of sinners? No, you don't. Because if you ever did, you could never again rely on anything in your mind. Your carnal mind, your mind. You don't have any. Oh, before I was born again, I used to have a carnal mind, but now I have a spiritual mind. Where in the crap did that come from? Jesus told the disciples that believed on Him. He said, "You are of your father, the devil. And you're a liar because he's a liar. It's all he's capable of doing." I've told you this for 30 years and you still don't believe me.
I'm just saying how this lie is because you have allied yourself with the grand deception. You're pissed off when anybody tries to come against you. Invested yourself in holy.
This is why, if you're preaching the cross, everybody's going to get mad at you, including yourself. I don't like this. That's why I spent all those years trying to find a loophole to it. This isn't good news to me. I just love it when there's even Bibles called that now, good news for modern man. Where in the hell did they get that? The gospel is the absolutely worst possible news that the human race could have ever received. I mean, there are a jillion hints to this. It says that Jesus Christ was the last Adam, the last member of the human race. Lynn, who are you? I've asked you this 1,000 times, but you haven't really considered it. There's neither bond nor free, white or black, Greek or Jew, male or female, because there's a new creation made from that which came from heaven. That's the only thing. Only that which came from eternity can return to eternity. And that is nothing about us. How can you have a test? How can anything be going on with you?
I'm just thinking of all my identifiers. You know, I have a name, I have an address, I have a social security number, I have a driver's license, I have an insurance policy, I have this, I have that. It's like all those things are my what makes apparently me, and yet they are all just nothing.
But what makes you are none of those. What makes you is your own definition of yourself. And that's the lie. Does anybody believe me? Yeah.
Yes, because any gospel less than that ultimately fails.
Of course.
It's the only truth.
That's why God gave us three graces to see Him. As I've told you so often, the faith of the phrase, the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is repeated over and over in the Scriptures. But in the Talmud, it's just forever. The faith of Abraham. Is what's, and all three of these graces are present in every human being. But one is dominant. And the grace of Abraham, the rabbis call it the grace of learning, but I call it the grace of, I don't want to do that anymore. So you just go through life and you come up to a place and you say, I don't want to do that anymore. And the only thing that you can do to stop the process is to be a hypocrite. To sell out. So Abraham went, and he sold out a bunch of times, but he finally, each time he sold out, he went on and on and on, and finally said, I don't want to do that anymore. Took him 100 years before his name was changed. And he no longer was Abram, he was Abram, he was Abraham. The breath of God came into him. The next time was Jacob. The struggle. For 20 years, Jacob lied to everybody. He never said his name because his name in Hebrew means the way of the snake. So he only said, I'm a son of. And finally he wrestled with the angel. And the angel would not let him go, nor would Jacob let him go until Jacob finally, the angel said, what is your name? And until he admitted what his name was, he minced and he said, I am Jacob. I am the snake. Then he said, no, you are no longer Jacob. You are now Israel. Everybody wants Isaac. It's instant revelation. It's the faith of Isaac. But it costs you everything at that instant. Now, all of us, all these graces are manifest in every one of us, but one is dominant. But there is no excuse for continuing on once you know it's hypocrisy. Once you know it's sour milk, don't drink it anymore. This isn't what I was going to talk about today. Do you realize that? Please, you've got to face this. And you've got to face it alone. Do you know you're the chief of sinners? Do you know you're a lie? Aren't you tired? Are you tired of walking in the sparks that you have kindled, feeding on that air, going in debt to air?
Airy, huh?
One of the ROI people. Anybody have any response? You think I'm just an idiot? Well, I'm sure you think I'm an idiot, but do you have any other response?
Something you said earlier about comparing the test of Christ, the innocence, the test of innocence to what's going on in the garden, just made me kind of think that you got the husband and the wife in the garden, and now you've got the husband and the wife, and it's like we're the nagging wife that is always trying to get Christ to change, to take action, to do something, to give us what we want, to make things the way we want. It's just kind of a comical picture.
Remember, there's that story I used to use a long time ago about the settler theology versus the frontier. The settler theology just wants to have an ice cream party every Sunday. Anyway.
What do you mean when you say we have to face this alone? What does that mean?
The born-again process is alone.
Horror of great darkness.
It's the horror of great darkness in Genesis 18, 15. When you find, finally, that it's, you know, my life has been a lie.
Yeah, it's very personal.
I mean, I can talk about it all the time, but it's got to come internally. Same kind of internal thing is finally, when you see your own failure, then the same process happens that happened to Mary. Alone, without any crowds, without any audience. That's when the born again process takes place. Not when you're in the excitement of a room and call, let's go have an altar call. Do you know when did altar calls start? It had to be in the last 60 or 70 years. There's no evidence of any altar calls in church history. When the rapture starts, that's the other one we talked about. That started in Derby in 1830. We got an email. There's someone listened to us in County Kerry, and Derby is somehow related to some. The person that wrote us is somehow related, or their friends are related to Derby, and they just got all kinds of kick out of it when we started talking about Derby, because he's hated in Ireland because he's such a fraud, and yet now we have a whole evangelical Christian dogma that's based on his lie of the rapture. Left behind. That's what we do in the dorm. We make fun of it. Usually, instead of left behind, it's cleft behind. We show a plumber bending over with his ass cheeks showing. Anybody have any doubts?
You said that the human race is dead.
Dead.
That's what God sees. It's not what we see. What he sees.
But what is to confess?
It's to say what he says.
Right. And to see what he says. I see what he sees and say what he says.
It always gets down to see him.
But it first is hearing. Remember, we're created. So what you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. What you touch, you have dominion over. What you eat is what gives you sustenance. What you drink gives you worth. Like you can go 3 days without water, 30 days or so without food, but you can only go 3 minutes without breath. There's something mystical there. Anyway, I'm tired of talking. I was tired of talking before I started. Eric, any thoughts? being polite for a change.
Well, he's been here before. It's no big deal.
No free ride.
John, any thoughts?
I don't like this.
I don't either. What are the alternatives?
Don't have any.
That's why you will learn to love it. All right, take it, big guy.